Good morning, everybody. Well, it's at least this morning here on Pacific Standard Time. It's about 12:30 in the morning. I'm still trying to wind down to go to sleep. So I thought I'd do a little conspiracy, not quite a conspiracy, but more of a war on terrorism type post here. It's a particular topic that I've been fascinated with for some time. And it was one of my first threads here on ATS. It really, much to my disappointment, because, of course, naturally I thought it was just a brilliant thread, even though I didn't say much in it, really didn't generate much in the way of discussion or response, so I thought I would revisit it here in Podspace. And what I want to talk about today is Operation Ajax. A lot of people really aren't familiar with this, and with our current focus and with everybody getting really excited about how Iraq, and rightfully so, has essentially, assuming that the vote goes through with the Constitution, has really ushered in what many people are calling kind of a new age in the Middle East, where democracies are beginning to take over and the like. What people are failing to realize is we had a democracy in the Middle East back in 1953, and at the urging of Winston Churchill, who's put quite a bit of pressure on the government, the Eisenhower government, Harry Truman, to his credit, would have nothing to do with it, basically got the CIA involved, and they overthrew the democratically elected Prime Minister of Iran and put the Shah back in his place, thus setting off a chain of events that would lead to the 1979 rise of the Ayatollah Khomeini and the Islamic Revolution, which essentially really, really brought big changes to that particular region. Now, that's not to say that there wasn't an undercurrent of radical Islamic thought and everything like that. However, this certainly didn't help the situation in any way, shape, or form. Basically, Operation Ajax was a concerted effort to overthrow Mohammad Mossadegh. Mossadegh, if you call, had nationalized the Anglo-Iranian oil company. Basically kicked the British out, more or less. And you know, there's obviously two sides to every story. And a lot of my information comes from a book called All the Shah's Men by an author, last name is Kinzer. It really goes into detail as to what exactly went on prior to the nationalization of the oil companies there. And what exactly the CIA did to overthrow him. It's actually quite funny. The Shah actually, when he thought the coup was failing, had actually fled the country and had to be flown back in to assume his throne once he realized it actually had worked out okay. Not to any small effort, mind you. Basically, Churchill and the rest convinced the Eisenhower administration that there was a danger that Mossadegh was going to turn communist on him. And once he had nationalized the oil company and in effect kicked the bulk of the British out, they were no longer able to run ops in the country, and hence manipulated is a rather strong word, because, I mean, nobody put a gun to anybody in the Americans' administration's head and told them, you know, do this or else. I think they bought into it and legitimately were worried that he was going to turn out to be a communist. But going back, you know, the fact that we are spending billions of dollars and we have taken thousands of lives to do something that we had mucked up 50 years earlier is simply mind-boggling. Every time the U.S., the U.K., anything like that has gone into Iran and mucked around, they have effectively botched it. I'm sorry, where was I? I was interrupted there. You know, so we in essence are somewhat responsible for the chain of events that eventually culminated with the Shah being deposed and a rather hostile regime being put in place in Iran. You know, and the parallels to Saudi Arabia are actually quite scary. I wouldn't say that we prop up the Saudi royal family. However, we have a we're basically in bed with them, and the signs coming out of Saudi Arabia are very similar to the signs that were there in Iran circa 1978. You know, the Saudi royal family policy of buying off militants, paying money to silence opposition and things like that is eventually, I think, going to backfire, and then we're going to have two countries with the basically the what one and two biggest proven oil reserves openly hostile to the U.S. Because, I mean, let's be quite frank, the official religion of Saudi Arabia is Wahhabism, which is not a warm and fuzzy branch of Islam by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I think we've made our bed, and it's not particularly pretty right now. It kind of makes Iraq all the more important, particularly with its oil reserves. But that's another issue for another podcast, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, I'd be curious as to what people think about this and how they think that we could make changes in the Middle East and not have it backfire like they have in the past. Anyway, this is Fred T., and hope to hear from you guys soon.